To our podcast audience, welcome. I am Keith Carson, member of the Alameda County Board of Supervisors. And as usual on our podcast, we're embarking on the opportunity to have and continue a dialogue on topics that are important to you, to me, and our community. Our podcast will share information on many important topics, timely topics, the ones that are informative to you, your loved ones, and your family. And I want to thank, first and foremost, Youth Radio for the use of these incredible facilities that we're in. And I encourage the whole world to come down here and view them and take advantage of the facilities. And we have incredible guests that I'm going to introduce in a few minutes, guests who have no notes, so they obviously know the subject matter. I'm the only one with notes today. And also for the people I work with on a daily basis, the employees of Alameda County who work in my office, I want to say a special thank you for helping to put together today's podcast. Well, I'm going to start off on kind of a comment that I hear all the time, and that is, what's wrong with today's youth, you know, our young people? I mean, I hear that all the time. But the reality is that's a historical question that we always hear. What's wrong with today's youth? You know, or in the early days of the founding of this country, people lived on farms. And when the young people wanted to leave the farm, their parents always said, hey, you know, there's only the farm. Why do you want to go to that big, crazy city, you know, and get out of here? So what's wrong with you? And then when the factories started, people were working in the factories and they were protesting about the working conditions. It was kind of like, you should be happy to have a job. Shut up and just go to work. You know, what's wrong with today's youth? And then during the war movement, it's kind of like the world is, we're protecting the world and we're protecting America, and you're out there demonstrating. What kind of music are you listening to? That old bebop, which is now hip-hop. What's wrong with today's youth? You know, soul, which was sexy, and you don't want to talk about sex or none of that stuff. But today, if you listen to the lyrics and rap, it talks about everything, the conditions of the world. So when we hear that, it's not just something that people say today, what's wrong with today's youth? Well, we have two young people. I'm not going to give their age. Because they're both women, and I don't know if they want their significant others or people they hope to be their significant others to have all this information, the digits on them or whatever. But we have this morning LaToya Carroll, and she's a native of Oakland, born in West Oakland, attended Hoover, McClymonds, and graduated from my alma mater, Berkeley High School. But I did 1,000 years before you did. And she's planning on going to community college in January of 2009. I want to say welcome to you, LaToya.
Welcome.
Nakia Dillard, and she's also a native of Oakland and born in West Oakland, attended Hoover, and graduated from McClymonds. I want to ask, are you guys friends? Because you guys had kind of followed the same footprint.
We're cousins.
Ah, okay. That's even closer. And you're looking at going to college as well as soon as, next year?
Well, I'm already in college now. I'm at Laney College right now getting ready to transfer to San Francisco State next spring.
Whoa. Yeah, so. Okay. Well, I want to start off with the question, and maybe I'll ask LaToya to answer the question, and that is the high school dropout rate for Oakland Unified students is 37%. And compared to the statewide average, which is 24%, you know, there's always this question of, you know, what's going on and why are young people dropping out of high school, K through 12, at such an alarming rate? And we know that even among African Americans and Latinos, those numbers are higher. I mean, for African Americans, the dropout rate in the Oakland Unified School District is 42%. And for those who speak Spanish or Latinos, it's 30%. So what's going on? I mean, why are people just dropping out of school like that?
Well, I feel people is dropping out of school because they don't have the resources to get help, or they don't have the resources to get a job. No one's taking care of them, so they feel they have to take care of themselves. So they'll drop out of school to get jobs to take care of themselves. They don't know how to or where to go to get help for school. They don't know how to say they need help. So the next option, they'll just drop out.
So, I mean, they go to school, and at some age, I'm not sure what that age is, then it becomes, it's not like I'm bored. It's not like you know, I don't like the conditions here. The thing is, I need me some cash at an early age. Is that what it is? Is that primarily it?
Yeah, basically, because it's like they feel they can't get hired because they don't have no job experience. They don't know how to go out and look for a job. They don't have no resources to it. So what they'll do is they'll either just drop out of school. They probably just need help in school and don't know how to say they need help, because I remember I used to be like that. I needed help with something, but I never knew how to say I needed help. So I just be stuck on it or sometimes just forget about it. But now as I got older, I learned that if I need help, I need to ask for it, because it is people out there who are willing to help you.
Do you have older brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Did you ever think about going to them and saying, hey, what's up with school? I mean, kind of, you know, prepare me for school. Give me some sense of what's happening here.
No, actually, it was on my own to decide if I wanted to go to school or not. Like, if I wanted to stay home from school, my mom let me, because I was kind of like the oldest in my house. I go to school because I wanted to. I graduated because I wanted to, and that's something I wanted to do and I feel I needed to do.
So do you think that you reflect kind of your thoughts and your challenges, kind of reflect the average kid, the average young person who lives in Oakland? And do you think that there's, maybe you know this and maybe you don't, that the way people may think on the flatlands might be a little different than the way people may think in other parts of Oakland in particular?
Yes, because some people got the resources and got the money to get the help, and on the flatland they don't. So it's just like, I don't know. I went to school and I did all that because I wanted to. And when I needed help, I learned to ask for it and I did it myself. So it was like, it was either for me to just drop out of school and then don't know what I'm going to do with my life, or finish school and just start something new.
When you were at McClyman's, did you talk to your friends and others and say, you know, oh, so-and-so is no longer in school. What happened to them? What's up?
Well, the thing is, I never went to McClymonds. I went to Hoover, and I went to Lowell Middle School.
Okay.
And the reason why I didn't go to McClymonds, because my mom just felt that wasn't a good school for me, because I knew a lot of people there, and I just wanted to go to Berkeley High. I mean, I didn't want to go to Berkeley High. I wanted to go to McClymonds, but I'm glad I went to Berkeley High, mm-hmm. because I felt I learned more at Berkeley High than what I would have learned at McClymonds. I feel that I wouldn't succeed as much, because McClymonds don't have the money to get the resources and stuff like Berkeley High do. So
I see. Did you notice that people your age were, even in Berkeley High, all of a sudden some days just not showing up or
yes, actually, I had a friend who actually she went to school from 9th to 12th grade and came to the graduation and everything, but did not graduate. And she had, her family had money and everything. It ain't all about the money. It's just sometimes that's just how people feel. They just need somebody to encourage them and to be on them to make them go to school or tell them, like, you need to go to school or whatever. But
would that be a parent or would that be somebody?
It should be a parent. It should be a friend. It should just be a stranger. It should be anybody, just encourage anybody to just stay in school.
Do you think that most young people, high school, have structure in their life? Would they rebel against structure in their life? You know, 1,000 years ago when I was growing up and I went to Berkeley High, not only would my parents get on me, my dad and my mom, but if I didn't do something right, the teacher felt that they could jam me up. Or some people in the neighborhood, if they saw me doing something wrong at that point, thought that they can discipline me and then go back and tell my parents that they disciplined me. And I felt like, you know, I couldn't mess up because there were too many eyes checking me out.
Yes, some kids got that. Well, I know I had it a little bit. It wasn't with my parents, though. It was with other parents, like the teachers. It was mainly just the teachers and my older cousin, but it wasn't just with my parents. A lot of kids these days, though, I don't think they do have that structure. I mean, you could tell them something, but they do what they want to do. Like, it started at the age of 12, 13, where they just decide they don't want to go to school. They want to be in the streets. They want to sell drugs. So, I mean, I don't really think they got that stretched through. I mean, I didn't see the older dudes on the block try to get the younger dudes to go to school or tell them they can't be over here because they need to go to school, but they still don't listen.
Nakia, I know you've been patiently listening to this conversation, and I want to know if Latoya is dead on. Is that the same way you feel? Is that what you hear from your friends? Is that identical? I mean, are your experiences slightly different?
I think that's part of it, but I think another part of it is growing up in a community where there's a lot of distractions like drugs and alcohol and guns and fast food and liquor stores. If that's what you're surrounded by and there's no positive role models to look up to, then it's really, really hard. You know, if your parents are on drugs or if, you know, the only male role models you see or female role models you see are selling drugs or selling themselves, it's really hard to stay focused, you know. So I think that's a part of why youth, you know, it's a challenge for them to stay in school because there's so many different challenges.
Well, you know, all three of us live in Oakland, and these days, every time you open up the newspaper, you turn on the radio, watch television, all you get are these negative images of mm-hmm. Oakland, and you hear about the turf wars that are going on. You hear about the deals that are going on. You see it. You experience it. There's this fear factor. If I leave and I go to other major metropolitan cities, I hear the same thing, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C. I mean, I hear it everywhere, but we live here. With that kind of challenge that you see as a young person in and around the West Oakland area, do you see that continuing in terms of the way that young people start to say feel there's no way out, no, there's hopelessness?
Well, that's part of the reason why Oakland Youth Movement is doing the work that we're mm-hmm. doing now, because we feel that, well, we went out and surveyed youth and asked what they wanted for the community, and a lot of them demanded more youth activities, more job opportunities, and I think in a youth center for West Oakland, and I think with that help, with the work that we're doing, if we keep coming together and Oakland Youth Movement keeps growing, then we're going to create change. And it's you know, so.
For our podcast audience, Oakland Youth Movement is a fairly new movement that became a movement for fight to change the community. And it was one that was started by young people who live in and around the West Oakland area in particular. And it wasn't just a movement. It was a movement that did some studies and went out and asked some questions and wanted to get some data. You know, government operates around, give me data, give me information. And one is, I want to applaud you and others who said, well, if government's not going to do it, if the church is not going to do it, if adults are not going to do it, I can't wait around for this change. I got to mm-hmm. make change happen myself. So I want to applaud you for that. And quite honestly, all of the major movements in the history of this country have been led by young people. You know, Martin Luther King didn't really get traction on the civil rights movement until young people started getting beat and arrested. Mm-hmm. It was young people who got involved in the Vietnam War. It was young people who changed the history of this country. So I want to applaud you. One of those things that Latoya brought up, and I want to ask Nakia a little bit on this, and that is, you know, I got to get mine now. I got to get some money. I got to get some cash. This is what this is all about. And the unemployment rate in Alameda County is 6.2%. And in California, that unemployment rate today is at 7.3%. which is higher than the national average of unemployment, which is 5.7%. Wow. And again, we still know that while Alameda County, Oakland may be higher within Alameda County, is at 6.2 and California is 7.3, that for the most part, that data is not really capturing age within unemployment. So when at what point at what age, especially since you, through Oakland Youth Movement, have been collecting information, at what point did you start feeling that people say, hey, I need me some cash, and I'm either not getting it at home, and I don't know where to get it, so the information on how to make it is coming from the people I hang out with?
Well, that it can start really young, sadly. You know, it can start around like 10 or 12 mm-hmm. years old, because there's no guidance. It's just like a lot of negativity, and it's not the role models that these children are looking up to are selling drugs and getting money fast. And then it's the videos with the nice cars, and you know, the songs is the media is playing a huge role on what the youth feel that they should be, and this is what they think is the American dream, to just, you know, have a nice car and girls jewelry, and jewelry and all this stuff, and they see the role models in their community, you know, selling drugs and getting money fast. So it's like, oh well, you know, if they can do it, I can do it. This is all I see. This is what I see in the media. This is what I see when I go outside. Where's the positive role models?
Go ahead.
But like the dudes, the older dudes in our community, like they sell drugs, but they went to school. Like I know half of them then graduated from high school, from McClimmons and stuff. Like the upcoming youth, they just taking it to a whole nother level, I feel like. They just want to drop out of school. They just want to just be some known person, and I don't know, just by violence. And I just, the videos, and or like Nakia said, that just encouraged them. That's just the movies, the videos, that just encouraged them. And I feel they just need somebody, a positive male role model, to help them find themselves instead of trying to be like somebody else.
You talk about positive role models, be they male or women. Where do you, both of you, see those positive role models in your life? And if you happen to be fortunate enough to have them, at kind of what age did you recognize that they were having an influence? And do you see that there are not enough, and I'm not trying to give you a leading question, but are there enough role models, and where are they in the West Oakland area, in the East Oakland area, in Oakland? And if it doesn't exist, let's talk about that.
Well, me personally, I've had my godmother, Merlin Mackey. She's the reason why I'm here at Oakland Youth Movement now. Ever since I was like 8 years old, she kept me with a job, you know, and she actually referred me to Africa Williams and connected me and LaToya to Oakland Youth Movement. And she's been a role model to me since I was young, and she's just always been like this angel here, just keeping me on the right track. And you know, I haven't had like a lot of positive role models, but even if it's just one person who just takes you under their wing, and you know, watch you progress and helps you, it will. You know, one person can make a difference. And mm-hmm. but I don't think it's enough positive male and yeah. female role models in Oakland.
You know, one of the sensitive questions, I guess, is when we ask and talk about role models, the question in the general public's mind, I mean, we're talking not just the Black community or the Spanish-speaking community, the general public, is you should get those role models at home. Mm-hmm. And in our case, do we have enough home role models? And if not, what is it that's going on at home that doesn't allow for us across the board to have home role models as well as other role models outside the home?
Well, to me, everything, you're right, everything do starts at home. And these days, it's like the parents just don't care. They just give up. Like, I mean, I couldn't say it started at home with me. It didn't start at home with me. It's just like who I know. It's because people who I know, like Nakia or Marilyn, like she said, or Africa, or I really didn't start seeing adult role models in my life until I joined Oakland Youth Movement. But before then, it was just like just me and my cousin. But
I think like a lot of the families in Oakland is because of the drugs.
Yeah.
And the food is like it's all these distractions, and it's hard. Like if your parents are on drugs and your brother's in jail or the other brother's out selling drugs, one brother has a mental problem, mm-hmm. it's like, where do you get the guidance? You know, it's really so many distractions in the Black and Latino communities specifically. I mean, if you go to Piedmont or Berkeley or something, you're not going to see like 40 liquor stores and like no access to healthier foods, and you're not going to see, you know, a lot of the things that you see here is really different.
Do you think anybody's listening?
Yep.
You do think people are listening. Who do you think is listening?
The youth and the adults. So.
Let's talk a little bit about Oakland Youth Movement. I didn't want to start there. I wanted to kind of paint a picture, really, of, you know, kind of where we are and your perspective. Because one of the things that have happened throughout history, especially American history, is while we go like, what's going on with our youth? We never sit down in a comprehensive way and talk to our young people and listen. Mm-hmm. That's different than talking to, but listen to what young people have to say, what their feelings are, how they think things should be, and incorporate them honestly into whatever changes to developing, not only in their life, because their lives, your lives, affect all of our lives. You know, if you're drop out, and if you don't care and you're out there slinging and you got to get yours and you start doing what they're doing at night, which is robbing restaurants, at some point in time there's going to be a mistake. Like Christopher said last night, Christopher's the guy that was on one of the TV shows. He went in and robbed the Lucky Store off of Fruitvale. I know Christopher because I met Christopher in San Quentin while he was still there from West Oakland. It's going to be a mistake, and it's going to be a problem that affects people from Piedmont, myself, because we're going to be the ones that are robbed or whatever. And I guess the question is, why is it that you think Oakland Youth Movement will be that catalyst to make a difference? What is it?
Well, I just think because people listen to us. Youth listen to us. Adults listen to us. I done met all type of different adults who trying to get more youth involved. I done met youths who just said they love what we do. Like one of our survey questions asks, what kind of job would you like right now at this age? And a lot of youth responds and said they'd like to do what we do. But the reason why they probably don't do what we do because they don't have the resources. We do what we do because we have the resources. Somebody guide us here. So now we just trying to be the resources to all these youth and guide them to, it don't have to be to Oakland Youth Movement. It could be to another youth group. We just trying to guide them to down the right road.
Are there a lot of youth groups that you know of?
No.
Not enough.
It's not enough.
Yeah. Let's talk about Oakland Youth Movement. Roughly how many members do you have, and how do people become members of Oakland Youth Movement?
We have 10 members. You become a member, you have to be a resident of West Oakland. You have to be a resident of Sobrany Park. But you could also just be a resident of Oakland, just want to be a youth, a part of Oakland Youth Movement. And right now, from West Oakland, it's just me and her. So we in the process of right now building hype, and that because it's hype and it's on you. Hype is West Oakland Youth, and it's on you is Sobrany Park Youth, and we came and went and called Oakland Youth Movement, basically just to show people East and West Oakland could get along, or no matter where you from, you could get along. You just gotta have the sense and you just gotta have the connections. We could get along, and anybody could be a member, just be from Oakland and just be ready to be a hard worker to make a positive change.
So when you all started this organization, Oakland Youth Movement, was it Africa Williams who kind of helped you, or who was it that kind of helped you? Africa Williams is a person known in West Oakland mm-hmm. that does neighborhood organizing. I know who she is. I just want to make sure the podcast audience knows who Africa is.
Well, Africa, yeah, she got us, the youth in West Oakland, and she be trying. Africa be trying. She be getting youth, and I done seen her talk to youth. Like, she came and talked to us. She take time and walk around each and every corner in West Oakland to talk to youth and just trying to get them involved. We just did some canvassing on Tuesday, me, Africa, and Joe, and we was going around talking to youth about Oakland Youth Movement, about the West Oakland Rag, just trying to get more youth involved in doing things.
Why don't you give me some idea, Anikia, of how you approach someone? If you guys are doing street work. I mean, everybody always talks about, well, you got to do street work, grass level work. How do you do that? I mean, tell me the training that you go through in order to get out there to somebody who's hanging out, and then all of a sudden, in this case, we got two attractive young ladies who can come up, and you're going to get somebody's attention right off the bat, right? But how do you approach that?
Well, when we did our survey, we held like youth events, celebrations, when we had like spoken word and food and music to kind of draw them in, you know. And then we passed out free bus passes and BART tickets,
iPods
and prizes to kind of get them, draw them in. And then we talked about the positive change what we were doing, and
we know like most of the youth in West Oakland in our target neighborhood, because that's where we grew up at. So it was more easier, more comfortable. We could just talk to them as a friend and as someone who love and care about them than just to talk to them as any other person, because we actually know that person and got kind of relationship with them youth.
You talk about a survey. I'm assuming you came up with the questions?
Yep.
Yeah.
All of Oakland Youth Movement.
Worked on formatting the questions. And then you went out and you started asking people a number of questions. What were the areas that you were concerned about and that you started to ask these questions? Let's talk about your survey, because you guys do ongoing surveys. Is that right?
Well, we every 2 years we thinking about creating. Well, that's what we're going to do: create a new survey, just to see how the results and percentages change. Just to see that's letting us know if we made a difference, if our voices made a change. And the first time we did a survey was in Sabrini Park. So
that's a really important concept, and I want to underscore that as you talk about the survey. Far too often, especially in the urban community, people from outside the community come in and want to study and do a survey and then go back to UC Berkeley or Stanford or wherever, some think tank, and analyze it. And then in a couple of years, they ask for a big grant to go back and do it again, but they don't make substantive change. And people, you know, they're not really a part of the community that they're studying. But you're from the community. You came up with the questions. And those questions were what? Let's talk about a few of them.
It was questions like what type of activities do you want? Did you attend school? Did you have a job within a month?
How can we stop violence?
How can we stop the drugs? Is there too many liquor stores? Every single one of them questions I just named was over 30% of the all of them had 30% over the youth answered that no, it's not enough youth activities. Yes, it's too many liquor stores. Yes, it's too many tries in West Oakland. No, they don't know where to get help from school. Yes, they want a youth center in West Oakland. And to tell you the truth, West Oakland and Sabrini Park was equal. That percentages was equal. But the thing is, West Oakland want a youth center. They want more youth, like youth centers, more job opportunities. In Sabrini Park, they want it to be clean because it's a lot of vacancy lots there and it's a lot of trash there. So they just want more clean because they have resources to a youth center, because it's one in Brookfield, and then they got the youth uprising.
So how many places have you had a chance to present, Nakia, this information?
We presented at about maybe three different events. One was at West Oakland when we held our own event to launch off Hype.
And this was this at McClymonds?
Yes.
Okay. And that Saturday?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we got a chance to present at Laney College at a summit that Mayor Ron Dellums attended. Mm-hmm. We presented there. Then we presented to the entire Alameda County staff. And
the Time Banking. We presented at the Time Banking. And where else we did?
So do you think that the people, once they hear the information, are honestly listening?
Yes, because when we presented at the time back in, we raised $2,000. They donated money to us, and we wasn't even there to just get money. Or they was just so interested in what we was doing. It was people from all over the world. They was just so interested in what we was doing and so shocked what we was doing that they just wanted to support us, and they donated some money, and we raised $2,000.
So what are the first, based on the surveys that you've done and the information, if you were to suggest one or two basic things that need to happen right away, what are those one or two fundamental basic things that come from the survey, that come from what you talked when you're talking to people in the community, that you hear consistently that needs to happen?
More job opportunities for youth and more youth activities, more things for youth to do.
Well, let's talk about what are the kind of jobs from your standpoint, from your age group, from knowing what you know about the people in West Oakland, what are some of the kind of jobs that they can be involved in, that they can get right away? And what are they looking for? What kind of jobs?
It don't matter. They just want a job. They just want to get off the streets. If it's a mentoring job, if it's a tutoring job, if it's a job where they got to clean up, where they got to serve food, I don't think at this moment in time youth really care that long as they have a job.
Did you notice a difference in your survey and your questioning, a difference between the response from young men or young women? Or was it about the same? Is it the approach from young men and women about the same, and what they think the outcome should be about the same?
Yeah, I think it's the same. Young women just feel more comfortable. You know, young men, they be like, oh, I don't know, I guess jobs. And they want to say it, but they just, I don't know what is it with the young men. But the young women, to me, was more outspoken in what they want. They was more determined.
Mm-hmm. So have you gone through some training to understand how to more pull out from men, the kind of feelings and the questions that they have?
Just build a relationship with them. Just make them feel that they could trust you.
So trust is a very important aspect of young people. I mean, trust. And you can't do that with one visit or one interaction. They got to be a consistent kind of way. What do you think that most people, because I noticed in the survey, that there was some aspect of religion in terms of the question. What do you think that most young people in general think about the church? Let's be honest.
What church?
Any church. We're not talking about a specific faith. But, you know, we have in our community lots of liquor stores and we have lots of churches. So the question is, I mean, is the church playing a role? Is the church respected? Is the church a place that they could see could be more engaged? And if not, let's talk about that.
Well, I think the churches could do more with going in the community and talking to the youth instead of sitting back talking about what the things are that are going on and talking about it. I mean, like you were saying, to sit down and listen to youth and exchange instead of just like kind of being segregated, you know. So it's just like there's no connection. There's there's no effort in going out to reach those youth.
Yeah, I don't think the church try as hard as they should. But in Sabrani Park, the church really involved in what they do. But in West Oakland, it's no church that ever just really came up to us and said they, you know, proud of what we doing and never said nothing really positive to us. I mean, I don't remember, but I know when we was in Sabrani Park and we did that presentation at that church in Sabrani Park, and they was really supportive. But
In terms of your survey and looking at things, did you find that within the household, and we won't say family structure because family structure takes on a lot of different kinds of definitions, but within the household that one lives, is there very much interaction, communication, or is it the place where you just go eat and sleep and you're out of there? And that's important because if you're talking about forming a base, a formation, a support base, then it says that the support base, if it, from your observation, your survey, If it doesn't exist in that household, then is it on that street corner? Because you're saying that they're not in school.
Mm-hmm. And everything starts at home. Yeah, I think sometimes in the household it is just you go eat and sleep and just get up and leave. I mean, but a lot of kids, though, they probably don't be as close to their parents, but when something happened, they be close. Because on one of the survey questions, we asked, like, if something was to happen to you, would you tell your mom, a relative, your cousin, or a friend? And a lot of people said their parents.
They said they would tell their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's an interesting thing, because I think that historically, researchers would believe that despite the economic income, despite what the family condition is, that despite what the ethnicity may be, that youth probably feel more comfortable not talking to an adult within the household, their family member. But you're saying that's quite the contrary.
Yeah, me and my mom not as close. But, like, when something happened, I tell my mom. Like, we're not as close at all. But if something was to happen, I tell my mom. I tell, like, my auntie. I'm not close to them. But when something serious happened and I feel I'm in danger or something, I tell them.
What about you?
Well, I'm really close with my mother. So I would tell her, you know, what's going on. But I would tell, I think it's, like, both ways.
Right.
I think youth would... Some of them said they would tell their parents, but then some of them said they would tell
a
best friend or
yeah.
something. It was kind of both ways.
Well, it's an interesting thought that just popped in my head, and that is, while you have been focusing through Oakland Youth Movement on wanting to know kind of the results and the actions and the thoughts of young people in our urban community, the question is, what do we do about adults? How do we approach adults? I mean, it seems on some level that there is a failure on the part of adults
mm-hmm.
in interfacing with our youth. If you had an idea about that, how do we get that going? I mean, how important is that? And where do we start to get to the adult who says, don't tell me anything. I've been here longer than you. You know, I brought you in the world. I'll take you out. You know, that kind of thing.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe if we had the opportunity, like us as Oakland Youth Movement, to present to the adults and show them what we're doing, to sit them down so they can listen and see all the great mm-hmm. work that we're doing, so they can understand, well, you know, they're actually doing some good work. You
like
know, maybe.
The adults did.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So. It's just,
I mean, we just have to tell them, okay, no disrespect, but you just need to listen for us for this one moment, you know? But it's like, we just need them to support not just us, but just support youth, period, be better allies, just teach youth how to be respectful. It's still adults like that in the world. Like, I'm grown, but if I was to cuss around, like, an adult on the bus or something, you know, they'd be like, oh, watch your mouth, or, you know, it's still, but they are a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's these various age groups. If you were, quote, unquote, and we're just making this up and drawing a line here, if you were 50, 60, 70, or 80, As a senior or as an adult, you may have a little bit more ability
mm-hmm.
To be accepted and respected
mm-hmm.
From somebody you may not even have an association with.
Yep.
Like, let's say the kid on the young guy hanging out in front of the liquor store all day long because they don't have no place else to hang out, and they're hanging out there. There may be a greater opportunity for someone over 50 to come and have that conversation. And boy, you need to get yourself up and pull your pants and, you know, all the
mm-hmm.
things that those adults, as opposed to those between the age of, let's say, 30 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between that age group, the 30 and the 50? What's the perception, the view of the 30 to 50 with a youth today? Someone your age and a little lower, younger.
Are you saying, like, if an adult that age just come up to them and tell them what they need to do?
Kind of, how do you view that age group?
Between 30 and 50, I don't think they as involved with the youth as they could be. But between 50 and up, they are, they listen, they more interested in what we're doing. I think between 30 and 50, they could be more involved, you know, but they listen, but I think they could just be more involved and be better allies.
Kia, you agree with that? Because it's kind of like the 50 to 60, that's grandma, that's grandpa.
Exactly.
That,
right.
You know, that's a little, like, psychologically, that's a whole different thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I think, like, youth would have a lot more respect for the age group 50 and up, mm-hmm. because it's like a lot of them still maybe have their grandmas around, or a lot of grandmas and grandpas and took care of them. So it's like, well, you know, my grandma took care of me, so I'm going to have respect for, you know, someone else's grandma, and as opposed to a 30 to 50 year old, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, it's different.
Mm-hmm. But my mom, she 53, she had me at an older age, so mm-hmm. it's like, people, grandmas be that, you know, that old, but my mom's that old, so.
So this information that you think we need to share a lot more, and I agree, and it needs to really be between that age group of 30 and 50. That's not to exclude those who are older. They need to be in the audience. They need to be participating in that conversation, but that really needs to be honed in there, because there's a responsibility that generally can be tightened up by that age group, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Let me just kind of focus on the last few minutes of our interview here on a couple of things, and that is, at one point in time in our history, if someone went to juvenile hall, when somebody went to jail, the whole community was like, whoa, you know, Bob's been to jail, my God, you know, and then it was this whole thing. And now, I mean, if we look at the information in terms of incarceration rates, it's just off the hook in terms of, you know, here in Alameda County, got 16,000 people on probation. 40% of those, 46% of those individuals are Oakland residents. We got over 2,300 young people who have been in and out of juvenile hall and are in the kind of juvenile supervision area. We got so many that are doing hard time in our state prisons. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem as though you and young people these days are as alarmed by, oh, I'll use Christopher only because Christopher was, you know, on TV last night. He's out of San Quentin, but you know, Christopher has been in jail. I mean, is that kind of just not normally accepted now?
Yeah,
by
that's not as shocking. When people go to jail and stuff, it's like, oh, well, maybe that's good for him, because maybe he'll just stay out of trouble, stay out of the streets, or maybe he'll stay alive longer. But it's just like, oh.
So in a strange way, jail incarceration becomes a haven. It's a haven for that person, which might give them an opportunity to kind of correct their life. And it's a protection because that person is off the street in the neighborhood for right now. That's a real strange concept.
Exactly.
For us as a society to start to hear and understand. That's a very sad and frightening kind of thought for us to have. And especially when you further break it down, that we're talking about African Americans and Latinos for the most part, it's like protect them for their own good by getting them off the street, and protect us. And this is coming from people who are relatives, who live next door, mm-hmm. who look just like them. Protect them from us, at least for a while. Maybe they'll come back different. That's a scary concept. Did you deal with that in your survey?
That's something, no, we didn't deal with.
You didn't deal with that in your survey. If you were to have the ear of Sacramento, if you were to have the ear of Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you were to have an opportunity to be heard through the Oakland Tribune and the San Francisco Chronicle, not just once, but repeatedly, what would that message be that you're really trying to get out to the community at large, the urban Black community, the decision makers, and those who don't live in that community?
Help stop the violence, give more money to Oakland schools, like give more money so they can have job resources. Man, it'd be a lot of stuff I said on a stressing editor. It's just like, I mean, it's a lot they could do. Just listen to the youth and whatever they ask for, and if it's something positive, I think you should give it to them or support them of getting it.
Nikia?
Yeah, I would agree about, like, me going to McClimas High School, there were times when I didn't have a book because there was no money for books. So the school doesn't have resources. I would say give more resources to the school, provide more job opportunities for youth.
So you didn't have, even at McClimas, enough books. But at Berkeley High, you did have enough books?
Yeah, I
have. So discrimination from one high school, which is about 2 miles away from another high school. Go ahead. You were talking, Nikia.
And what else? I would say,
What are your next steps? I want to start with you, Nikia. What are your next steps in Oakland Youth Movement? And where do you plan to go? Based on how it's starting to change your life, what's your direction in life at this point? Where were you going and where are you going now because of Oakland Youth Movement?
So in terms of Oakland Youth Movement, some of our next steps right now, we're about to start doing this culture keeping program with Hoover Elementary, elementary students who would normally be suspended or sent to detention, they're going to come to the culture keeping program instead. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out what's going on with them, you know, instead of sending them home away from school, we're going to like do like different activities with them, like arts and writing, and to kind of guide them and mentor them and see how that program works. And we're starting that in September.
Yeah. We feel you get them while they're young.
Feel like you get them while they're young. How does one get in touch with Oakland Youth Movement if they want to be a supporter or be involved?
Well, we have flyers around. We're working on a website. Basically, we at the Alameda County Public Health Department. So if you just go there and mention Oakland Youth Movement, they'll just...
Everybody know.
You guys
are off the hook over there, right?
Yep.
I see. Your next event is what? And your next meeting is when?
Well, we meet every Wednesday, mm-hmm. and our next event is going to be for Sobrany Park because we take turns. It's going to be Sobrany Park, West Oakland. So our next event, Sobrany Park, is in November. It's mm-hmm. It's on You Keeping It Real 3, this day 3rd event, and it'll be our West Oakland 2nd event. So it's in November. We just don't know the exact date because, you know, election and stuff going on. So.
Well, we can't stop the world because of the election, because all the violence continues while the election's going
exactly.
on, right?
So we want everybody to be a part of that event, so we just don't want to give it the same, you know, day or weekend of an election, because we want even adults, youth, everybody just to be a part and everybody just to hear what we got to say.
How many young men are members of Oakland Youth Movement?
Well, currently it's 3 young men. Yeah, and then the rest of the group is women.
And like I said, we're trying to build hype, and the people we've been interviewing, majority of them is young men.
Let me say that this podcast has been kind of a free-flowing conversation, but it's been a profound and interesting one. I think to hear from young people who have had varied experiences that kind of reflect our thought pattern. We need to do a lot more of that. We need to get a lot more of that out into community. I want to thank LaToya Carroll, native of Oakland, and born in West Oakland, and attended Hoover, and graduated from my alma mater, Berkeley High, and one of the founding members of Oakland Youth Movement, and Nikia Dillard, who is also from Oakland, West Oakland, proud to be from West Oakland, and attended the same school, cousins, right?
Yep.
Cousins. It just so happened to be. And I want to say thank you both for being here and enlightening us and informing us. To our podcast audience, we want to say thank you for tuning in to us. We look forward to many more podcasts that will inform you, keep you updated of issues and subject matters that affect you, your family, your neighborhood, our community on a daily basis right here in Alameda County. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you want to be a part of making a change, you should just come see us at the Alameda County Public Health Department and we're Oakland Youth Movement.
That's the last word. This is Keith Carson.
You can subscribe to this podcast, Keith Carson, Information is Power, on iTunes or Podomatic.com. Don't forget to visit our website at www.acgov.org/board/district5 or visit us on Facebook and YouTube.